Chapter 8. Been subjected to clean steam only, but George's had been subjected to vaporized quicksilver. V. More about the machine. Note. When Mrs. W. asks how can a millionaire give a single dollar to colleges and museums, while one human being is destitute of bread, S.E. has answered her question herself. Her feeling for the poor shows that S.E. has a standard of benevolence. There she has conceded the millionaire's privilege of having a standard. Since she evidently requires him to adopt her standard, she is by that act requiring herself to adopt his. The human being always looks down when he is examining another person's standard. He never finds one, but he has to examine by looking up. The man machine again, young man. You really think man is a mere machine? Old man. I do. Why? And that his mind works automatically, and is independent of his control, carries on thought on its own hook? Yes. It is diligently at work, unceasingly at work, during every waking moment. Have you never tossed about all night, imploring, beseeching, commanding your mind to stop work, and let you go to sleep? You who perhaps imagine that your mind is your servant, and must obey your orders, think what you tell it to think, and stop when you tell it to stop. When it chooses to work, there is no way to keep it still for an instant. The brightest man would not be able to supply it with subjects if he had to hunt them up. If it needed the man's help, it would wait for him to give it work when he wakes in the morning. Why? Maybe it does. No, it begins right away, before the man gets wide enough awake to give it a suggestion. He may go to sleep saying, the moment I wake I will think upon such and such a subject, but he will fail. His mind will be too quick for him. By the time he has become nearly enough awake to be half conscious, he will find that it is already at work upon another subject. Make the experiment and see. Why? At any rate, he can make it stick to a subject if he wants to. Not if it finds another that suits it better. As a rule, it will listen to neither a dull speaker nor a bright one. It refuses all persuasion. The dull speaker wearies it, and sends it far away in idle dreams. The bright speaker throws out stimulating ideas which it goes chasing after, and is at once unconscious of him and his talk. You cannot keep your mind from wandering, if it wants to. It is master, not you. After an interval of days, now, dreams, but we will examine that later. Meantime, did you try commanding your mind to wait for orders from you and not do any thinking on its own hook? Why? Yes, I commanded it to stand ready to take orders when I should wake in the morning. Did it obey? Why? No. It went to thinking of something of its own initiation without waiting for me. Also, as you suggested, at night I appointed a theme for it to begin on in the morning, and commanded it to begin on that one and no other. Did it obey? Why? No. How many times did you try the experiment? Why? 10. How many successes did you score? Why? Not one. It is as I have said. The mind is independent of the man. He has no control over it. It does as it pleases. It will take up a subject in spite of him. It will stick to it in spite of him. It will throw it aside in spite of him. It is entirely independent of him. Why? Go on. Illustrate. Do you know chess? Why? I learned it a week ago. Did your mind go on playing the game all night that first night? Why? Don't mention it. It was eagerly, unsatisfiably interested. It rioted in the combinations. You implored it to drop the game and let you get some sleep? Why? Yes. It wouldn't listen. It played right along. It wore me out, and I got up haggard and wretched in the morning. At some time or other you have been captivated by a ridiculous rhyme jingle. Why? Indeed, yes. I saw Essa kissing Kate, and she saw I saw Essa. I saw Essa, he saw Kate, and she saw, and so on. My mind went mad with joy over it. It repeated it all day and all night for a week in spite of all I could do to stop it, and it seemed to me that I must surely go crazy. And the new popular song? Why? Oh yes. And this we eat by and by, etc. Yes, the new popular song with the taking melody sings through one's head day and night, asleep and awake, till one is a wreck. There is no getting the mind to let it alone. Yes, asleep as well as awake. The mind is quite independent. It is master. You have nothing to do with it. It is so apart from you, that it can conduct its affairs, sing its songs, play its chess, weave its complex and ingeniously constructed dreams, while you sleep. It has no use for your help, no use for your guidance, and never uses either, whether you be asleep or awake. You have imagined that you could originate a thought in your mind, and you have sincerely believed you could do it. Why? Yes, I have had that idea. Yet you can't originate a dream thought for it to work out, and get it accepted? Why? No. And you can't dictate its procedure after it has originated a dream thought for itself? Why? No. No one can do it. Do you think the waking mind and the dream mind are the same machine? There is argument for it. We have wild and fantastic day thoughts? Things that are dreamlike? Why? Yes, like Mr. Wells' man who invented a drug that made him invisible, and like the Arabian Tales of the Thousand Nights. And there are dreams that are rational, simple, consistent, and unfantastic? Why? Yes. I have dreams that are like that. Dreams that are just like real life. Dreams in which there are several persons with distinctly differentiated characters, inventions of my mind, and yet strangers to me. A vulgar person, a refined one, a wise person, a fool, a cruel person, a kind and compassionate one, a quarrelsome person, a peacemaker, old persons and young, beautiful girls and homely ones. They talk in character, each preserves his own characteristics. There are vivid fights, vivid and biting insults, vivid love passages. There are tragedies and comedies, there are griefs that go to one's heart, there are sayings and doings that make you laugh. Indeed, the whole thing is exactly like real life. Your dreaming mind originates the scheme, consistently and artistically develops it, and carries the little drama creditably through all without help or suggestion from you. Why? Yes. It is argument that it could do the like awake without help or suggestion from you, and I think it does. It is argument that it is the same old mind in both cases, and never needs your help. I think the mind is purely a machine, a thoroughly independent machine, an automatic machine. Have you tried the other experiment which I suggested to you? Why? Which one? The one which was to determine how much influence you have over your mind, if any. Why? Yes, and got more or less entertainment out of it. I did as you ordered. I placed two texts before my eyes, one a dull one and barren of interest, the other one full of interest, inflamed with it, white hot with it. I commanded my mind to busy itself solely with the dull one. Did it obey? Why? Well, no, it didn't. It busied itself with the other one. Did you try hard to make it obey? Why? Yes, I did my honest best. What was the text which it refused to be interested in or think about? Why? It was this question. If A owes B a dollar and a half, and B owes C 2¾, and C owes A 30-5 cents, and D and A together owe E and B 3/16 of, I don't remember the rest now, but anyway it was wholly uninteresting, and I could not force my mind to stick to it even half a minute at a time. It kept flying off to the other text. Oh. What was the other text? Why? It is no matter about that. Oh. But what was it? Why? A photograph. Your own? Why? No. It was hers. Oh. You really made an honest good test. Did you make a second trial? Why? Yes. I commanded my mind to interest itself in the morning paper's report of the pork market, and at the same time I reminded it of an experience of mine of 16 years ago. It refused to consider the pork, and gave its whole blazing interest to that ancient incident. Oh. What was the incident? Why? An armed desperado slapped my face in the presence of 20 spectators. It makes me wild and murderous every time I think of it. Good tests, both. Very good tests. Did you try my other suggestion? Why? The one which was to prove to me that, if I would leave my mind to its own devices, it would find things to think about without any of my help, and thus convince me that it was a machine, an automatic machine, set in motion by exterior influences, and as independent of me as it could be if it were in someone else's skull. Is that the one? Yes. Why? I tried it. I was shaving. I had slept well, and my mind was very lively, even gay and frisky. It was reveling in a fantastic and joyful episode of my remote boyhood which had suddenly flashed up in my memory, moved to this by the spectacle of a yellow cat picking its way carefully along the top of the garden wall. The color of this cat brought the bygone cat before me, and I saw her walking along the side step of the pulpit, saw her walk onto a large sheet of sticky flypaper and get all her feet involved. Saw her struggle and fall down, helpless and dissatisfied, more and more urgent, more and more unreconciled, more and more mutely profane. Saw the silent congregation quivering like jelly, and the tears running down their faces. I saw it all. The sight of the tears whisked my mind to a far distant and a sadder scene in Terra del Fuego, and with Darwin's eyes I saw a naked great savage hurl his little boy against the rocks for a trifling fault, saw the poor mother gather up her dying child and hug it to her breast and weep, uttering no word. Did my mind stop to mourn with that nude black sister of mine? No, it was far away from that scene in an instant, and was busying itself with an ever-recurring and disagreeable dream of mine. In this dream I always find myself, stripped to my shirt, cringing, and dodging about in the midst of a great drawing-room throng of finely dressed ladies and gentlemen, and wondering how I got there. And so on. Picture after picture, incident after incident, a drifting panorama of ever-changing, ever-dissolving views manufactured by my mind without any help from me. Why, it would take me 2 hours to merely name the multitude of things my mind tallied off and photographed in 15 minutes, let alone describe them to you. A man's mind, left free, has no use for his help. But there is one way whereby he can get its help when he desires it. Why? What is that way? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.